Access granted.
Subject: interview with Emily and Lenny from Hasbro. Body: on 4/26/2023, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, was tasked with the mission of interviewing Hasbro's G.I. Joe brand team members, Emily Bader and Lenny Panzeca, about the recent G.I. Joe classified reveals from the last fan stream and much more. Here's what we could show you from that G14 classified recording.
Access granted.
Hello and welcome to the Full Force Redacted, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On the show today, we have managed to convince two wonderful people from the G.I. Joe brand team to do an interview, and let me tell you, it took a lot of convincing. Marketing mindbender Emily Bader and metalhead rockstar designer Lenny Panzeca are here to talk about all of the awesome reveals we've had over the past few months. Guys, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your day with me. How are you both doing?
Mind-bended.
That was a great intro. Can we put that on our business card?
It's like, yeah, I can do that.
Yes.
I've done a few of these. I've done a couple of these.
Yeah, just a couple.
I'm catching on to it now.
That was really good, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I wish it could have been even bigger for you guys, because you are genuinely awesome people. I love you guys both very much. And I love what you guys are doing on the brand as well. It's absolutely fantastic. And thank you so much for jumping on. This is so cool. So, first off, you're going to reveal everything for the next couple of years, right, on the show?
Yep, we're just going to...
3-year reveals. We're revealing for 3 years today.
I just wanted to see if any of the legal cameras that are watching us flicked on at that point, but they didn't.
Oh, no. I get carted out.
Yes. Where's Lenny gone? It's just beeping. There's just like a now it's been quite a while since I last spoke to both of you amazing humans. Since then we've had a number of developments in the classified series. Specifically, first we had G.I. Joe Day, where you guys revealed a bunch of new deluxe offerings. Then we had that awesome fan stream where you showed off a brand new batch of name only reveals, renders and figures. And then there was that Walmart exclusive surprise during Collecticon. I also want to discuss a number of other developments that have happened along the way, but first let's talk G.I. Joe Day and that fan stream, because that was a lot that you guys dropped on us. Was the idea to give the fans a break between the frantic end to last year going into 2023 like a conscious decision, or was it a case of needing time to kind of catch up with production and stuff?
Oh, sorry, I cut you off mid-sentence.
That's fine.
Yes, it was the first part of that, so I was like, of course. So there was so much going on last year. We had so many pre-orders, and once those kind of started shipping out and people started getting charged for their pre-orders, we wanted to give people kind of a breather, you know, let them enjoy their new figures, let them have their moment, and then wait for a couple of months before launching everything new.
And then attack.
Like, yeah, exactly. And then just like shove a bunch more stuff at you.
Yep, I will.
But I think it was, I feel like it worked out well for us. We did G.I. Joe Day in February and dropped. And I think that was really exciting for us to kind of see how that kind of a process would go, because we hadn't done it before. So for those of you who may not have known, we basically dropped a bunch of digital renders via Hasbro Pulse Social and caused a little bit of a stir that day, which was kind of exciting.
All day long, yes.
Which I think was also really fun, because we love trying new things and seeing how it works. And so thank you for the positive response to that. And I think it's definitely something that we won't rule out doing again in the future.
Today, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Today. It's 3 years worth of lines just all done today. Yeah.
All the legal cameras came back on again. there's been like a significant ramp up in terms of volume of product per wave as well. And I know that's kind of happened. That happened a much longer time ago than just this last wave. Is that indicative of like the success of the line, do you think, that you guys are able to kind of do this now and kind of put even more figures out there?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a little bit of, there's kind of two sides to it. There's the side of, yes, people really love the figures that we're doing and we feel really lucky and we're kind of getting to ramp up the actual number of items that we're doing each year, but we also had, you know, those supply chain issues with COVID.
Right.
And so instead of cutting planned figures, what we did was we kind of combined a bunch of different waves of figures, which resulted in having much larger waves, which meant that you got more figures and people were excited about them, but is definitely kind of a noticeable difference than before. But we felt like it was really important that, because we are and I mean, not to pat ourselves on the back or anything, but on a roll, you know, our figures are lovely and everybody on the team is doing such a great job. And we are so honored and humbled that people actually like what we're doing as much as we do, which I know we always say, but every figure is our favorite because we, every time we make one, we're just so excited. And so to be able to share that is really nice.
Awesome. Yeah, we really do handle every figure as if it's our favorite, and because we know it's somebody's favorite. Right. And we want to do a good job on everyone. You know, sometimes we get 100% on the test. Sometimes we don't. But, you know, we're aiming for that every time. And, you know, it is very flattering to see that the line is doing well and that people like it as well, as much as we do. So to echo what Emily's saying, it's kind of exciting.
Could you give us a breakdown of every single figure then, Lenny, that you've released so far and the percent, the percentage of where you think you got it?
100, 100, 100, 99.
Don't do that.
I've tried. It's how hard I tried. Not how, you know, I don't want to be.
What's the percentage of effort you put in for each figure? No, no, don't do that.
Oh, if you think it's anything less than 100% on every figure, you've never had a conversation with one Leonard Panzeca.
Oh, yeah, no.
Lenny is absolutely one of the hardest working people I have ever had the pleasure of meeting and working with and getting to where, and I know he's like, he's not making eye contact with me because he's like, please stop talking about me right now. But he is seriously like, we have so many wonderful humans that come together to make this amazing line, but this is Lenny's baby and he loves this line and he is so passionate about it and so driven and so detail oriented. And I think that that is really one of the things that fans have picked up on. It's that passion. It's all of the, as he would phrase it, the little greeble that goes into the figures that makes them so special.
Yeah.
And I think that that's wonderful.
And it is exciting to meet a lot of partners who share the same passion, right? So our sculpting team, our engineering team, our marketing team, we all kind of come together, powers combined to make these figures. And it's exciting to do. It's like the G.I. Joe world and we're just kind of embracing it.
And I feel like we're, one of the things that I like to say is everybody at Hasbro is a nerd, but we're all nerds about different things or different elements of things. And that's why we end up working so well together, because if you have like 100 of the same kind of nerd working together, it's like always going to be exactly the same. But because we have so many different nerds adding in input and saying, you know, oh, this is amazing. Have you thought about maybe doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we kind of continue to, our team continues to propel us forward with all of the amazing things that we come up with. So again, thank you so much to everybody who has had their hands in these figures and on this line. We couldn't be where we are today without all of your help.
Thank you to the nerds is what you're saying then. And yeah, thanks,
yes,
nerds.
Exactly.
Thanks, nerds. No, that, yeah, that was all really nice, and then I ruined it by saying that. Well, speaking of Lenny's kind of work on the line as well, based on that, the reveal showed us that you're kind of mixing up with very classic designs like Copperhead, for example, Tunnel Rat, Torpedo, and so on. Newer updates like Steel Core, Rock and Roll, and in some cases reimaginings of characters like Shadow Tracker. What makes you decide on whether a character needs to stay vintage or get a significant update?
I think it's kind of like turning the gears a little bit to like work the engine room so that the pressure is just right.
Right.
I think certain characters like Shipwreck is wonderful. You don't touch Shipwreck. but like on like Tunnel Rat, like did we show him yet?
Yes. You've shown right. Tunnel Rat. Yeah.
Which is to say, we've been working on a lot of figures lately, and yeah. Sometimes we forget what we've shown you because we just get really.
That's
excited.
What I'm banking on, because I'm just going to be like, yeah, yeah, you've shown that one, guys. Yeah, exactly.
So on Tunnel Rat, we remove the bell bottoms, we give him knee pads because of what he does, and then we gave him more pouches, which I believe the pouches. I was inspired by Renegades. Because he had some cool pouches.
Yes,
on him.
Yes.
I actually really like the suspenders, and I did think about maybe giving him the suspenders on that, but I felt that this turn of the gauges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We needed a classic Tunnel Rat to start, and it kind of goes down the line. Like in the Range Vipers, the Range Viper design had kind of like that insinuated bandolier and it wrapped around him. Kind of didn't make sense. I started off drawing it to see if it would make sense. And it didn't. And then it dawned on me, I was like, just make the most mil-spec looking, like tough looking Range Viper or like troopers you can do with all pouches and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so that's where the inspiration came for that. So a lot of it is like kind of like, you know, pulling the gauges, moving things around, seeing what works, doing some drawings. And if the drawing looks like it's not going to work in 6 inch, we'll make an adjustment.
Sure. With that range Viper secondary, was there any thought to maybe like future proofing it with like, you know, thinking about the future and where it could be utilized again? Is there any thought going into that at that stage, Lenny?
Oh yeah, of course. Right. So it's like making a mil-spec vest like that. I could probably use that later on other characters, which is really cool with some deco. And actually, let's look at them.
Oh, so look
I keep
that.
Him by my side. But like his shells are secondary parts. Of
Fantastic.
Course, the bandolier comes off. He actually has a hole in the back for the tube.
Yeah,
the old school that went into the back because he needed a Neuralink.
Yes,
PSI canister for some reason. But we put all sorts of like gizmos and buttons on the back of the backpack to kind of insinuate like he's making calculations while on the range.
Fantastic.
But yeah, like definitely baking that sort of stuff in. Like there's also a sheath for his side.
Ooh.
So stuff like that. Like, so like we can put different weapons in there later on. Things like that to kind of play mix and match and kind of play dress up essentially with doing a redeco or doing a, like what I call Frankenstein builds, where like I'll make a couple of new parts and then use some existing parts and then use some deco. Then we mix and match some of the secondaries on the parts to try to make them look refreshed. Because the goal is always to make the most refreshed character you can do.
So just tell us which characters you've got planned then in the future. No, still not working? Okay, fine. Fine. No, that's great.
I feel like, and with the Range Viper, you know, the original concept drawings that we saw, we were all like, okay, this is cool. And then every step of development along the way, we just increasingly went, oh my God, this is like really cool.
Like
this is seriously cool. And then when our amazing photographer, Matt, did the pictures of the diorama pictures, oh my gosh, like Matt has been slanging it on the G.I. Joe pictures lately. Like they are beautiful. And I think that when, because that was the one, I'm on a lot of brands now. That was the one that went up at Walmart Con last month, right?
Yeah, correct.
And so I think that the response from Walmart Con was, it was kind of humbling because we've thought for so long that something is cool, but sometimes when we think something is cool, it doesn't always translate to like the rest of the world.
Yeah,
so
like
to see everybody go
overshadowing our judgment. But in that case, it kind of coincided. It was really cool.
Oh, yeah, that was a great response, I think. And also, we'll get to it in a second. But I should have even more happiness towards this particular reveal because of the Big Ben connection as well. We'll get to that in a moment, though. We'll get to that in a moment. But kind of in keeping with this whole vibe as well, I want to kind of talk about Shadow Tracker as well, because that reveal, again, kind of like you don't want to stay in one era, and that's something that I've really enjoyed so far, you know, Kamakura and characters like that, where and Helix that you've revealed excuse me, as a name only character. So the fact that you're not staying in one era is something that I really, you know, very very happy to see that. And it's cool to see you reinterpret some of these characters as well, because Shadow Tracker is very different from his Pursuit of Cobra design. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason you wanted to do something different for him in particular?
He was a combination of resources and modernization, right? So like he had that really cool clear mask, which I thought was kind of sci-fi. At the same time, the way he reads is like poacher, always in the field.
Why would
fashion himself a mask out of some of the bones that the animals that he's hunting, or wear some of the animals as trophies? I mean, he is a trophy hunter, so why wouldn't he wear them on him? So I thought it'd be kind of cool to give that option. You can still put the clear mask on, it'll be the classic look. But I just thought a skull mask would be badass, to tell you the truth. So, and it's a jaguar, just so everybody knows.
Wow.
And I was playing with the idea of like shadow tracker, like the jaguar is that sort of creature, so he's mastered it, so he's wearing it essentially.
Fantastic.
We're working on right now is the finish of the bone. So like what you saw is a little bright and the reveal, but I think we're trying to make it look more realistic.
Just gonna rub it into the dirt for a little
dirt a little bit. And then some of the other parts were a little resource driven, right? It isn't exclusive, so our resource pool is a little different. So pulling from other parts and pieces to make a character look a particular way. Then how do you make it cohesive, right? So if you're going to do it, make it so that the figure looks as if it is purposely done that way. So that's That's one of the fun parts of the job, right? It's kind of like figuring out what you can do with what you have,
right?
Make something refreshed and new. I'm very pleased with how it came out too. I can't wait to show in person.
I feel like a lot of what we do is story driven. So much of G.I. Joe is rooted in storytelling. Yes. And that is something that has always been really, really important on Classified is how do these characters fit together? How do their accessories help with their story? How does this kind of continue your understanding of who they are as characters? There's, you know, so many different iterations of these characters over the years. And how do we kind of pull parts and pieces from those into their classified versions? And kind of what does that mean for how you interpret your those beloved characters?
Absolutely. Is that narrative going to be explored even more kind of going forward, like in other ways? Is there a plan for you guys to kind of give us more in the way of like direct narrative storytelling for the line? That's a really bad question, isn't it? You guys,
no,
like,
it's
a big question. Cannot talk about that.
I mean, there aren't really any plans for now, but I think it's always something that we found really interesting is kind of, you know, how can we, because this to us is part of the G.I. Joe canonical universe, and which, by the way, canonical, one of my favorite words to say. But kind of how can we continue pushing that? And I think that the whole brand team is, you know, we're all rooting for the future of G.I. Joe. And really, what does that look like? This is a brand that constantly reinvents itself to kind of fit with what is modern and what is
the fashion brand. Kind of
exactly. Yep. We are at our core a fashion brand, and which is, I always love.
I think any good action figure design can tell the story through its design and with the help of its packaging. So like with Tiger Force, we're kind of telling this like jungle battle kind of story. Even with Cobra Island, we were telling this like garrison kind of story. They're garrisoning up. Cobra's coming. Everybody look out. And then Joe's going to kind of stop them, or at least get an understanding of how bad it's going to be. And I think with the Night Force stuff, you'll see once the packaging artist is coming out, we're kind of trying to tell a story with like the backgrounds and all that. We're trying to utilize the real estate of the packaging to help tell that narrative, which when they started showing this stuff, it was super exciting. And it was super fun to kind of like talk with them and be like, so what were you thinking here? I'm like, when we started getting into it, I don't want to talk about it now because you guys, I want everybody to put the pieces together.
Sure.
But like, it was fun to brainstorm with them and come up with like, how are we going to portray what these characters are doing without really comic book stills or words, really just one cover art.
Sure.
And then let your imagination run.
Coming back to the fan stream and stuff, Scrap Iron's drone is a nice bit of equipment. I have to kind of bring this up because it's just so ridiculous and magnificent. What made you decide to change that up and make it gigantic?
It is gigantic. Hold on, let me get it.
Oh, he's gonna drive it in. It's
impressively large. And I think that's part of the fun of G.I. Joe storytelling for us is, you know, what at the core, these are fun figures and they are all even a tiny bit ridiculous. And I think that this just kind of leans into that.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the original had the legs on it, which was kind of cool. Like that tripod.
Yes,
thing.
Yes.
But
I thought you meant Scrap Iron for a second. I'm like, he had legs. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he had legs too.
Yeah.
But I try to show them together.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Kind of like scale. I actually bugged out when I first saw the gray model. You get a model that kind of shows scale and stuff as we work through the details. Like, oh no, did we make it too big? Can we afford this?
You asked that question after the fact. I love it. Can we afford this,
well,
guys?
Well, no, it's during the process.
Right? Oh, okay.
It's
still good.
Our long, drawn out process. So, it worked out. Everything worked out the way it's built and stuff like that. We found particular workarounds.
Sure.
But it's very big, as you can see. It's the size of like my meat paw, right? It's pretty close to it in size. I thought that the tripod was cool, but like it can't go anywhere.
Right.
He has to like set it up, and I feel like it takes him out of the battle a little bit.
Yeah.
So putting the treads on, I was kind of inspired by a lot of that, like DARPA research stuff.
Yeah.
Like all like kind of like the tank research or like the robotics. And I feel like a robot drone would probably have some sort of tank tread and it would be kind of articulated.
Yeah.
That's so it can like go over certain things. I thought it'd be kind of cool for posing too. I love for the photography a lot of the fans do. So how do you make it so it's a little more dynamic? So like on top of rocks
Yes,
and stuff like that, what would
absolutely.
it look like? We tried to add like, you know, headlamps and stuff like that, details like that, like something like this would probably have. I don't think we got a lot of these details
Oh
in the
no,
shop.
yeah, I was
You
going to
can
say
see
anything
like
I've
the
seen.
Cobra logo.
Yeah.
This is like a vent detail with like lights built into it.
Working
This
lights
is
as well, which is
a
amazing. I can't believe you got electronics in there too. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know
Could you
that isn't the
imagine?
case.
I don't have the blast effects with me now. I just cleaned my shelves. I actually had to take a bunch of stuff down. Inside, you can see there's the 5mm ports. So you
Yes.
can put blast effects in there and have the rockets going at different degrees, if you would, in that
Amazing.
particular zone. So I just, long story short, I felt that the tripod was cool, but this took him out of the battle. So we needed something that was a little more mobile and could tell a little bit more of a dynamic story.
It's amazing. And I love all the blast effects look really cool and like dynamic and ridiculous as well. Like there's just it's just next level. You kind of really pumped like everything into Scrapeye and his drone and everything. It's phenomenal.
He was fun to work on. I love the actually the scarification on him was super fun to do, especially because he's a perfectionist.
When you
So it was
guys
like kind of cool.
say like you've had to kind of like you work around a budget and you kind of like make sure costing this and costing that. I can't see where you've taken anything out of the budget, honestly, in some of the last reveals. Like you've got all these like multi-packs with loads of accessories and stuff, and then even the figures in the wave are stacked, like torpedoes dripping in equipment. Like it's insane. Like I don't
Well,
know where I don't know where you're cutting back is where
we really
what I'm
can't
getting at.
talk to it, but it is a manipulation of what our tools are and how
Right.
can we use them in a way where we can utilize them to their fullest.
Right.
And when I say tool, I don't mean the actual mold. I mean like tools of the trade.
Sure.
And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we reach too far and they're like, oh no, we have to go back to the drawing board, which happens a lot. Sorry, rest of the team. But
This
like,
is
you know, we're
Lenny's
just trying
public
to, we're trying to,
apology.
yeah, I mean, we're trying to innovate, right? We're trying to innovate in the action figure space. And I think G.I. Joe is the brand you could do it because that sci-fi paramilitary allows for that
Yeah.
because it's all about gear. It's about gear and armoring up and going into action or a mission. So we're taking the opportunity to try to recreate those situations. So we're pushing it. And in doing that, we're finding some methods, if you will, to get what we can get when we can get it, and then in some cases we can't. So it's been a learning experience. I mean, I've been doing toys for going on 17 years, 16 years, I think. But I'm learning a lot on this brand, which is super exciting. That's why I love it so
How are you
much
not a
too. So.
Jedi Master already? In that,
Very
surely you've.
far from it. Those are the Boudreaux of the world, right? So like
Yeah.
inspired by them, you know. So it's just exciting to kind of go on this adventure and find all this stuff out, what we can do, what we can't, how we can, how to figure it out, and then be told no 10 times and then say, okay.
I think
Well,
it's that always kind of continuing to push and see what we can do that
absolutely, yeah.
is so nice and something that, you know, we will continue to kind of push and see how far we can push the limits and whether we're being told no by somebody internally or whether fans say, I really took it too far on this one. Can you like bring it back a couple notches? But I think that listening and always taking in feedback and we hear what you have to say. We follow along with what kind of the narrative is when people are getting figures in hand or when we're revealing things and really wanting to make sure that we kind of have a for some reason I want to say a foot on the pulse of, but that does not seem like the right way to
Don't
phrase
have
that
a
line.
foot on
Foot
the
on the pulse,
neck
a
of
neck on the
the
pulse.
what's
A
okay, you use your own whatever, but that we're It's sometimes I
gauge on
mix
the pulse? I
metaphors. Yeah, something like that. But
don't
that
know.
we are we're Diamond
Tracker.
Chris Cry, that's a great day.
Amazing.
That we are listening and we really want to make sure that people feel heard and that we are being responsive to kind of thoughts. And even though sometimes it will take us a while for you to maybe see any of those changes, we are listening.
And be constructive, guys, as well, please. Not nasty, just constructive. Correct? You prefer that, right, guys?
I
You
prefer constructive
don't. Yeah, you prefer someone
very
being,
much.
polite and kind, and then offering their point of
We are
view.
people too.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that is so hard to to remember sometimes when you are
shut up,
on
Emily.
The internet, because it's an anonymous, for yeah. the most part, you can be totally anonymous,
yeah.
and it can be really hard to for some people to remember that the words that they choose have impact and have, you know, make the people on the other end have feelings, whether you intended that or not.
Yeah.
Remember to be nice to people.
I have a YouTube channel. I fully understand what you're saying there. 100%. I'm not going to get into it too much because I will start crying myself. Oh, this is an interesting one. Okay, sorry, I just remembered I have other questions for you. During the fan stream as well, lots of people noticed, but it didn't seem to be brought up, there was a packaging change going on. And my goodness, it looks phenomenal. So really excited for how the packaging was anyway. Really excited, though, when I saw this new packaging. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, new formulaic idea. But again, there's a lot of, you know, very unique aspects to each one. And you've got the little homages thrown in there as well. I mean, can you tell us a little bit more about the packaging? I mean, what made you to decide going in this direction?
Yeah, I think that when the announcement was made that we were switching to plastic-free packaging,
that's
I think that there
question.
Was an adjustment. We're sorry.
That's my next question, actually, as well.
Yep. and so I think that there was a learning period, and we were all trying to figure out, okay, what does that mean for
right.
our packaging? And G.I. Joe went in a different direction than a lot of the other brands did. So both Dungeons and Dragons and G.I. Joe did full artwork on the cover. And what some of the feedback that we were getting from people is that if you were not already aware of what was in those packages, it's hard to tell what's inside of them. The artwork is beautiful. We have loved getting to work with all of these different artists and having all of these amazing different interpretations of our figures. But if you can't actually see the figure next to it in a meaningfully large way
right,
next to
right.
the artwork, it can be a little bit difficult to tell what is actually in there. And so this is kind of a course correction step of trying to make it easier for people to tell what they're getting in the box.
Sure.
So we were also really excited when there was kind of an opportunity to try something new. And then the announcement came that we are shifting back to windowed packages. So we're all learning together. We are constantly learning and reinventing and
yeah.
trying to figure out what's next. So we're still in the ideation phases of kind of what that
right.
means for classified packaging.
I was going to say, yeah.
We are trying to keep as much of the new line look as possible as we move back to windows, but understanding how important it is for collectors to actually be able to see the figures that you're getting. So I think that, you know, we're always learning here. No one's ever too old to learn. So thank you for kind of bearing with us as we're continuing on this evolution of what we are doing.
I was
just to note that.
Yes, go for it. Sorry.
Oh, no. So the G.I. Joe should be transitioning back to plastic packaging in spring of next year or so. So note that means that like the figures that come with the Hiss Tank, those will all still be closed box figures. Figures through the rest of the year will all be closed box as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. I was going to, my question was going to be, now that you've got this new packaging, what are you doing next? Seeing as everything's changing again. Was that one of those things where you were like, oh, that would have been good information to know yesterday when...
I feel like there's sometimes we're all, you know, we can only work with the information that we have
exactly.
and kind of do our best given the circumstances. And so our team is incredibly gracious and agile, and every time we are kind of given another piece of the puzzle, we're able to pivot and kind of figure out what comes next and
yeah.
kind of how does this continue to propel our journey forward. So
yeah.
thank you to everybody for hanging on with us as we're figuring out. We are not infallible humans either. No human is infallible. We are just trying to do our best one step at a time.
Amazing. And that
with
is
like a lot of eyes on us.
Yeah.
So no pressure to us.
Yeah,
right?
No pressure.
Yeah.
We just want you to change the packaging for the ninth time this week, if that's cool, guys. Just give us a different package this time. Now, have you got like, I mean, I'm sure this is, like you said, I think this is in the ideation phase at the moment. Have you, is that one of those things that is a priority at this moment in time? Or have you got so much work on that that's kind of like, we'll deal with that a little bit later? Or is that something that you have to start thinking about based on the figures you've got coming?
I think the teams who directly create it is their top priority.
Ah, okay. I see.
For me and product design. I'm kind of outside looking in, giving my suggestions as a toy collector. So for me, it's like, you guys are going to get it. They're good. They're some of the best in the business, right? So I kind of like watch and give my suggestions. But from what I can tell, it is top priority to figure out
cool.
what's going to be happening.
I was kind of considering if you guys were you going to, my thought was, would you go back to like the original style or would you kind of go in a different direction? And it sounds like there might be a different direction going. Okay, cool. That's
yeah. The plan is not to go back to the original style. So we feel like we've kind of graduated from that and we want to kind of keep pushing forward on our classified journey instead of kind of making a circle out of it, I guess. Sure. but I think that our packaging and our branding teams are, as Lenny said, so incredibly talented. And this is, it's kind of a fun challenge for them to, because you don't often get to say, all right, this is what packaging was. This is its middle step. Now, how do you want to interpret that in the future?
Yeah.
And what's that going to look like?
Awesome. Cool. I've squeezed enough out of you guys about packaging. Now, let's move on quickly. Now, some eagle-eyed fans spotted a cheeky possible reveal in one of Snowjob's product images. This is me being really cheeky now. Can you reveal to the world today that an Arctic bat is coming?
What if it was just it was included in the background image and it doesn't actually exist? What if Matt just drew one and magically? No, we can confirm. Arctic bats are coming. That's why we put Easter eggs in, for people to find them so amazing. That people get excited about them. So there will be Arctic bats coming in the
that's
line.
That's amazing. For a second there, I thought, oh, I've definitely pushed it too far. Emily's never going to speak to me again. I've got all legal. I've got the little red dots to start appearing on me. I'm like, that's amazing. So Arctic bats, fantastic. Well, there you go then. It's official. I can.
What you saw was the tip of the iceberg with them, though.
They're an iceberg. Iceberg's coming as well. I'm kidding.
No. Can you imagine that this keeps on like?
I know. Yeah.
Every snow character.
It's an avalanche. Avalanche is coming.
Well, we did. We did a we. We went in on them. We had fun with them. So I think I was kind of bummed. I was like, can we show them? but
brilliant.
I'm going to stop. But I think you guys will like them. I like them a lot.
Fantastic.
I like them a lot. They're pretty fun. I really like bats, though. I think that they're great.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things that you could do with them. And I think that in the kind of the grand scheme of theming our approaches to things and how do we really build out ecosystems and stories, how do bats fit in? And really, how many bats are too many bats? And what people have been telling us is perhaps there is no limit to the number of how many bats is too many bats.
I want bats for every situation.
It depends. If you're talking about the animal, then I would still say I'll have loads. They're the cutest little things.
Flying fox is a very cute animal. I think it's an underrated animal.
Yeah.
Have you seen this thing?
Yeah, it's incredible.
What's a flying fox?
You've never seen one.
You still have to look at a flying fox after the meeting. They're adorable.
I'm going
to
look that up.
Google it now.
As a non sequitur about actual bats, fun fact, somebody in this room, this virtual room right now, can catch a bat out of midair in a Rubbermaid box, like in a tote box.
That's awesome.
Oh, I've done that 6 times.
Wow.
That's mind-bendingly awesome.
That is mind-bendingly awesome. Do you live in a cave by chance?
When I was going to grad school in upstate New York, we lived in a house from the 1800s.
Wow.
And occasionally we would have a bat friend come and visit. And I had the house had these beautiful floor-to-ceiling windows. So I had these amazing curtains on them that were like 96-inch curtains or something. And holy smokes, did the bats like hanging upside down from my curtains.
That is amazing.
And so usually sometime around 2 a.m, I'd get woken up by like a weird noise and be like, ugh, another bat. So I'd herd the cats out of the room and get my bat box. And also, fun fact, bats cannot like vertically take off. So if you do catch a bat in a box, you actually have to tilt the box over and basically force the bat out and have them fall. And then they need like 2 to 3 feet of takeoff space, so that you have to make sure you don't do that directly above the ground so that they can take off and go on their merry way.
Right. So everyone watching now, go catch bats. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Perfect. That's when legal is going to come out and be like,
animal cruelty.
Emily, really? This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Facts are very important.
They are. Usually on a show like this, it would be at more Battle Android Trooper fact, but that's totally fine.
You know what? I bet I could catch one of those in a tote box, too, if somebody threw one at me. Just, you know.
They're slow.
If we're transitive properties.
They're slow. They're slow. You can catch them. They need about 2 or 3 feet of takeoff space as well, actually. Right, so you also revealed two more Walmart exclusive classified figures in Big Ben and Range Vipers, which we saw a little while ago. What was very interesting here was the fact that Walmart will now have a new Night Force theme, as you know, we kind of insinuated a little while ago. Can you give us any more details regarding that particular narrative, or is it just like you'll find out when you find out?
I think most of it is you'll find out as you get the figures. I was playing with the idea that Night Force is called into action when something that is nebulous and the Joe team doesn't quite understand the whole situation completely.
I see.
And it seems like it could be pretty serious or a new threat. They call in the Night Force. And I thought it'd be cool to have Night Force a little more global as well. So pulling in characters from around the globe to go and handle the situation.
Who are you talking about by chance? Maybe Big Ben, perhaps?
perhaps. mayhaps. So calling them in to figure out the situation, and you'll actually notice on Big Ben, we gave him like a new logo.
Yes.
I like Griffins. Griffins are really cool. I'm doing some research on them. They're the protectors of treasures, not necessarily gold. So it could be the treasures of a loved one. It could be the treasures of a city. It could be the treasures of a castle. But it's something that is of value, but not necessarily monetary value.
Right.
So the idea was, I was like, let me put Griffin on Big Ben as if he's like the protector of kind of like the he's the barrier between this unknown and the rest of the world, along with Night Force. Not every figure will have that logo on them.
Oh, okay.
Redundant on every figure. But also the Griffin's holding like a flame. Like flame of a guiding light kind of thing. So we got a little creative. So kind of playing up that idea with Night Force, like what bumps in the night, Night Force will find out.
Awesome.
That was really cheesy. But that's where our brains were at.
That's fantastic.
But so, I feel like if you don't embrace the cheesiness of G.I. Joe, then what are you doing here? Like, 100%. If you're here because you're like, this is a very serious brand, serious people. Like, have you ever seen anything we've done for the last, you know, X number of years?
Do you even know G.I. Joe at that point?
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah, it's the most bonkers property pretty much ever created, I think.
I feel like we could just have like
a Cobra Mayan mech suit. I can't remember what miniseries. Do you remember the Cobra mech suit?
Yeah.
Thing, the blue and red, you know, and it fought an Incan or Mayan golem.
That's just an average Tuesday. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's incredible. That just happens. That happens all the time. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking crazy storylines in the cartoon, for example, Worlds Without End is incredible, where they go through another portal into a different dimension.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. Fighting gods in and the primordial plot, which is about dinosaurs.
Egyptian god episode? That one's crazy.
Primordial plot's my favorite because it is effectively what Michael Crichton used to then make Jurassic Park, because it is literally Jurassic Park before Jurassic Park was even conceived. It's incredible.
G.I. Joe led it all, man.
I know. It's the leaders.
It is, and that is truly the most magical kind of a property that you can work on, because this is really a pretty much anything goes.
Yep.
And we can come up with a convincing story reason why this is happening. There's so many different avenues to explore and so many different things to focus on that it really is quite magical.
We definitely not going to handle it like, oh, we can do anything, but it's you can pull inspiration from a lot of different places.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons why I love the brand so much too.
Yeah.
And it has done that through the years and through its iterations. Like it's from serial novels, from comic books, from cartoons. Like you can see the influence.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm getting the idea with Night Force. There's a dark conspiratorial kind of theme going through this. There's almost like a very like eerie, scary kind of vibe, and the range vipers definitely fit that to a T. Mm-hmm. They look terrifying. So are you leaning you're leaning into that with the Cobra team, I guess, because obviously there isn't a Cobra Night Force technically. So with the Cobras, I guess it's just the scarier the better.
Yeah, I think it's like the Cobra troops that have been assigned to that mission would kind of like fit the bill of like the Night Force Joes have to go into action.
Yeah, basically. Cool. Well, that's all. I can't wait to see those two figures. Can't wait to see the back of the package now as well. Can't wait to start putting this narrative together myself, because you won't bloomin' tell us. I'm just kidding. But I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, Big Ben is a huge kind of connective tissue to me in some sense. Obviously, it was an American figure in 91, but it was definitely one I was aware of. But yeah, just so cool that you guys are doing those kind of characters and characters that are, you know, have that kind of global kind of connectivity. I really, yeah, really enjoy the fact that you're doing that. You know, Tiger Force Outback, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, guys. That was I just quit at that point. I was like, well, I'm done. It's never getting better than this, is it?
Well, what was fun about him too is like he can be old man Outback.
Yeah.
I always forget his name.
Selkirk. Old man Selkirk is what his
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like you can, depending on how you imagine your line to look and your how you kind of like tally it in your mind, it could be either or, which I thought was pretty cool. And I love the idea of like an old man or old woman version of a character,
because
it's like, especially in a mil-spec sci-fi line,
like a shoot to the future type thing. Yeah.
It's like how have they weathered through this experience that they're going through? And I think that's kind of the cool thing about Joe in general. It's like they're, weathered is probably the wrong word, but they're experienced characters and lived in a way. And that's what like beginning of working all the details and the gear. It's what's so fun about telling the story through the character. It's like, what's their experience been?
Yeah.
In the case of Outback, he got old.
He got.
And any time that you get to ask Tony to, you know, can you please make the arm hair on this figure match? And I've never seen Tony's eyes light up quite as nicely as when he gets to talk about all of the arm hair,
brilliant,
or the chest hair on figures.
We had Tony and I had like a 5-minute conversation on that arm hair.
Yeah, we talked
about the texture. Like, should it be long? Should it be short? I'm like, I'm partial to long.
That's brilliant.
But that was with the details. I mean, it makes a character, right? Like,
we need to get
kind of its uniqueness to each figure.
Should get Tony on the show as well at some point and have a chat with him,
yes,
about
100%.
Some of this stuff. Yeah, that'd be great, actually. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. For anyone listening, can you just hook that up for tomorrow? Brilliant. Thanks. Just joking. Right. One more thing about Night Force, and I know you can't really, I know you can't go into details, but I was wondering if you guys were planning to incorporate some of the more classic Night Force characters from the original Night Force team into the line in the future. Is that something you can actually discuss in any way, shape, or form?
We cannot comment on future character releases, so
she's that direction of my
that's
of my,
totally window. Fine.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just thought I'd ask anyway.
That's my role. Lenny gets to be the fun one. I get to be the as I've been phrasing it, the junior dream crusher. We have a guy who works for us who refers to him or works with us that refers to himself as the dream crusher. So I am now junior dream crusher. I'm really excited.
Vice
dream crusher.
Dream Crusher would be an awesome character. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Actually, yeah, that's really cool. Can we
Dream
get
Crusher.
Can we get that in? Can you want me to cut that out so you can keep the name? That's brilliant.
It's ridiculous.
Dream Crusher.
What would Dream like? What accessories would Dream Crusher come with? Oh, I'm imagining.
You know the Dream Catchers, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But a giant one, big
with on a stick with a grenade in it.
It's an anime character. Dream Crusher anime hardcore.
A pillow.
I'm imagining maybe a giant sledgehammer, like one that's as big as the character is, kind of a vibe, like that kind of an anime character.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is beautiful.
Not only would it crush your dreams, but it would also crush where the dreams are created in your head.
It's too packed with ice cream soldier.
Oh, please.
I am a big proponent of ice cream soldier. I feel like, you know,
And he should come someday. He should come with a little tub of ice cream as well, shouldn't he? Yeah, that would be so dope.
Or a sundae bar of accessories for him, so that you can mix and match your own like tiny ice creams for your figures to hold. There's no way this is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Finally, I've got a few questions, by the way, that listeners and viewers have kind of sent in over the past few weeks, and a lot of the comments that we've seen that have given us an idea as to kind of what to ask you guys. Now, they're not all, obviously not all positive. I apologize in advance. But we did have quite a few people asking about distribution in the UK. A number of customers are still waiting on like Serpentor, Dr. Mindbender, and they've even had recent emails pushing them even further into the year. The theme of the question is, can they expect this to improve going forward with other exclusives effectively?
Yeah, so Serpentor and Mindbender were kind of rare cases for us. So they were convention exclusive items that we did a limited quantity run on, and ultimately were so wildly successful that we opened them up for another order. But what that meant is that we had to do a rerun on them.
Right.
And so ultimately, depending on when you placed your order, you were either in the kind of the first batch or the second batch, and there were large time gaps between them.
Yeah.
Because we, for many circumstances, you can't necessarily just kind of say, let's do a rerun.
And switch the factory back on. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And so that is kind of one of the reasons why. So for the majority of characters moving forward, these are exceptional cases.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's great. No, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. We had a number of viewers ask about QC issues, quality control. They've been seen with some of the more recent figures. Are you aware of those issues, and are there plans to address them going forward?
We are aware.
Okay.
Of some of the issues, and we are addressing them actively.
And I know it's not just like G.I. Joe specifically. I know it kind of affects more than one line, and but I just wanted to kind of give you guys an opportunity to kind of like.
Yeah, it's trade secret, so we can't really talk too much about it.
Of course.
There is, I think it's just like with the ebb and flow of like the way production's been for the past 3 years, it's like, now there's these problems that we have to figure out. And because we were through that hurdle, now this new hurdle has happened. So we are we're trying to fix it, and we are actively, and I'm trying to say it the most
I know what you mean, yeah,
legal way I can say, actively and frustratingly dealing with it as well.
Absolutely, totally cool.
Yeah.
I didn't want to not ask that question, because if I didn't, I would get pelters in the comments, so I just wanted to avoid that.
Yeah, and it's something I would say that like when you guys notice something, we notice it too, and it drives us crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool. It's not driving us crazy that you notice it. It's driving us crazy that it had to happen.
Absolutely, no, totally. Yeah. That's cool. And the last thing I wanted to ask you guys again, and I don't know if you can talk on this or not at the moment, but what are the plans for the O-ring line? Or are we still in a position where we're kind of waiting to, you know, hear like an official kind of situation on it?
No comments on that at the time. Okay. We're still kind of waiting to understand what was happening with that line.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, that got all that out of the way. Let's talk about fun things again. No, I'm kidding. Guys, thank you.
Those are great questions. They're just
it's just difficult,
the ones that
isn't
you have
it?
To like think, because you're like, I work for a company and I have to answer this properly and respectfully. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, so, absolutely. Yeah. And also, it's not one of those things I should have asked them at the beginning, shouldn't I? Should have been right at the beginning and just been like, right, guys, what's going on there? What's going on here? And what's going on here? And then just after, just been all fun and parties the whole time. Well, it has been a fun old party from my point of view. I've really enjoyed speaking to you guys yet again, and I love having you on the show. I wish we could do this every day. I know that would be rough. Not
so
just on editing, but
what figures did you get done today?
Can
nothing?
We just,
oh, this, how interesting!
This could just be a meeting, an ongoing meeting that I edit every week. That works, doesn't it? I think that works. Thank
it's
you.
It's a YouTube loop.
Yeah, just forever. We're stuck in it. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to me about all this. I really do appreciate you so much, and I love you guys to death. So a bit harsh, but you know I do. And thank you so much for a great job that you're doing. Thanks for the great job you're doing on the line so far, and of course for all the fun reveals you told us about today. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. It was lovely to chat with you, and always nice to talk figures and, you know, amongst fellow nerds.
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 That brings us to the end of the interview. Emily, Lenny, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to me about all the great reveals over the past few months. I've said it before, but I just love this line, and I do hope we have even more to come over the years. I hope you've had a good time. We need to get you back on, really, more often, yeah. If you're interested in doing so, of course.
For sure.
That'd okay. be great.
Awesome. Right, I'll work it out with I'll have my people speak to your people, or in my case,
perfect.
I'll have me speak to your people. That's it for this installment of The Full Force Redacted. Thank you to my wonderful guests Emily Bader and Lenny Panzeka. See you next time. And as always, guys, after three, you know what to do. I hope you know what to do. You just shout Full Force at the end. One, two, three.
Full Force!
Fantastic.
Access granted.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.
Access granted.